This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're moving on to something that happened recently that I think we should all be very proud of. The United Nations General Assembly recently invited the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or C4. They invited that organization's executive director, Cynthia Gabriel, to present a three-minute statement to UN member states. This happened on the 4th of June at their headquarters in New York.
And there were only five groups worldwide that were selected by the UN General Assembly President Volkan Bozkir to make this address at a special session on the topic of corruption. So, it's I think by any measure a great honour and a cool development in general. And last Wednesday, Cynthia had told Malaysia Kini that it was an incredible honour for her, C4, and also Malaysia, and that it was important for the international community to come together to tackle transnational cross-border corruption, like the one involving the 1MDB scandal. And just to say that, this was a special session, which I think makes it even better, right? Because there is a specific focus on this topic.
So we do have with us on the line Cynthia Gabriel from the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism to tell us all about it, really. Cynthia, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and thank you for sharing the excitement and the enthusiasm of what happened on Friday.
So tell us how it went. How did C4 come to be invited in the first place to present the speech?
Well, it was very much a surprise, really. Well, as much as I am the founding director and the executive director of the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, I also represent several global initiatives. And I sit on the UNCEC coalition. UNCEC is the UN Convention Against Corruption. And this special session very much centers around that convention. And I sit there as the vice chair of that whole global coalition of about 350 civil society organizations around the world. So the role of C4 there was also to showcase very much how transnational corruption had very much affected citizens in Malaysia when it came to the 1MDB scandal, which received a lot of global attention. And it hasn't actually received real closure at this point. There are many pressing issues that haven't been resolved at the global scale. And one of it would be issues of return of stolen assets, for example. The whole issue of international return of assets, being able to catch criminals who have escaped the country. We're still trying to locate where Joe Low is, for example. And some of the corrupt criminals have very, very comfortable hiding places in this global universe, which means that there are many countries who actually offer protection for corrupt criminals. And therein lies that whole advocacy around what happened with this global session. And the UNCEC coalition, in which I represent as the vice chair, had also lobbied and done a lot of advocacy work around trying to strengthen international cooperation. So although Malaysia had ratified the UNCEC in 2008 during last time, it was a huge opportunity for the country to curb corruption. But instead, what we saw was actually quite the opposite. We were embroiled in the notoriety of multiple grand corruption schemes. Of course, we recognize 1MDB as one of the grandest financial scandals that has taken place in recent times in the world. But there have also been many other issues of financial crimes which has flown across borders because of globalization. The economy has opened up. And so as a result of that, we have many enablers that facilitate corruption. For example, banks, international law firms and stuff. So it's a completely different world that we operate in today. And one of the reasons why this special session was adopted by the General Assembly was because they saw that international cooperation was so lacking in the whole effort to try and solve transnational corruption, because we were still operating on domestic jurisdictions in which stolen assets were were parked. For example, in the 1MDB, you know, we had the U.S. Department of Justice actually looking at stolen assets from 1MDB money in the United States. And then we had the Swiss Attorney General looking at stolen assets in Switzerland, and Singapore doing similar work on stolen assets of 1MDB. But there was no interconnecting dots to actually try to catch the corrupt and to actually bring back the assets that actually belong to taxpayers like you and me. And I think that's where the whole issue of why this special session that the General Assembly decided to facilitate and to convene was seriously, because it is quite a common fact that corrupt criminals don't hide money in local banks anymore. They go to the Swiss banks, Singapore banks, wherever it is that they can actually hide money, including in offshore islands and using shell companies and so on and so forth. So back to the question of why CIFA was given that space, it was really a huge honor and recognition. One, because we were actually speaking the only national type organization that was invited to make a 3-minute statement to the plenary of member states alongside 4 other global organizations. So there were 5 organizations around the world that were actually asked to make a statement directly to the member states. That means you speak at the plenary. There were a lot of side events and many types of campaigns and advocacy that were going on. But I was actually quite stunned that I was actually invited directly by the president and for CIFA to make that kind of statement. And then I realized that it was probably because there was a serious deterioration for Malaysia, and that was under global scrutiny as well. That it was about 1MDB, of course, and there were many unresolved issues, as I had mentioned just now. But there were also issues in which were more worrying, because we have not resolved, for example, institutional reform to block another 1MDB from happening. So there is no guarantee that another 1MDB won't happen. We have not reformed, for example, the central bank. We have not made the MSCC a lot more independent than it wants to be and hopes to be. For example, security of tenure of the chief commissioner, and also the central bank and Bank Negara and the role that it played during the 1MDB scandal that allowed that 2.6 billion ringgit to be transferred into a personal bank account of the former Prime Minister Najib Razak, and so on and so forth. So these are real issues, and I think that was a huge opportunity to press for international cooperation.
And have you received any feedback on the presentation so far?
Well, not so much on the presentation. I mean, apart from my colleagues and some United Nations Office of the Drugs and Crime officials that actually work very directly in putting the UNGAS together, which were all very much in the affirmative. What is actually important now to follow up is the political declaration that the Conference of Parties, the member states, had actually adopted. And it was, as you can imagine, something that wasn't ideal. It was watered down. It was a common minimal denominator in which countries could accept that they needed to move forward in terms of international cooperation. But what was even more important was what we were trying to push. For example, I'll just give you 2 examples. One is to deal with the issue of beneficial owners of companies. And what does this mean? It actually means that company directors now need to be transparent about registering themselves as directors instead of putting proxies in place of them. And our Companies Act, for example, actually has several legal loopholes that allows directors to place proxies in place of them. And so it's very hard to actually trace how money moves from one shell company to another, because the directors that register themselves as company directors are not the real directors. So now it's about making things more transparent, and we need to know who are the real shareholders and the real directors of the different companies. And I understand that our SSM, the Suruhanjaya Syarikat Malaysia, is working to improve efforts around transparency of company directors. The other is about protection of whistleblowers. And this is always the first group of people, including media, investigative journalists, that always get attacked every time they try to expose a story. So instead of investigating the complaint, usually the complainant gets investigated. And there's lots of reprisals, and the environment certainly isn't very enabling for whistleblowers, etc., to actually look at real-time exposure, real-time trying to actually call out corruption, and so forth, so on and so forth. And of course, the other example is the transparency around return of assets. At this point in time, the U.S., for example, has returned millions of ringgit from the Goldman Sachs and from various other civil forfeiture suits in which they have taken place. But we have zero information as far as Malaysians are concerned about how much of that money is actually being utilized for the good of the people. Are they building hospitals with it? Are they trying to procure COVID-19 vaccines with it? Or are they just trying to pay off one MDB debt? I think these are basic general access to information questions that we're asking as Malaysians, and we don't have transparency around those things. So the political declaration fell a little bit short of trying to call out corruption, and most important is to develop an international legal system around catching the corrupt. I mean, we've had two IGPs now trying to still find where Joe Loh is. Is it really that difficult to track, or is it just that there's not enough political will to do it? And what really is the issue? So it requires really a band of member states to agree. What is the point of having an Interpol, for example, if it was not going to be effective, that the red notices issued by Interpol could be easily ignored, for example, if countries are not going to be cooperating in catching the corrupt? So in conclusion, I've said so many things already, but in conclusion, I think it's really important that the political declaration was adopted. It may not have been super strong as what we had hoped for, but it was important because several of what I had just described, several items for transnational corruption were adopted. But it was in a more general type of language, but it needs to be strengthened. And the whole point about independence of MACCs around the world, including our very own MACC, was central to actually fighting corruption, including our judiciary.
Cynthia, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Cynthia Gabriel from the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, speaking to us about the presentation that her organization was invited to make at the UN General Assembly last week. So let us know what you think. What are your thoughts on this? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And coming up after the 7:30 news, a change of pace. We will be throwing back 40 years to the first Indiana Jones movie ever, Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's coming up on Popcorn Culture. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.